Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm a manic pixie dream slut named Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus show Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
This episode, we'll be covering season 2, episode 2, Hello, Stranger, written by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
Hello, stranger. And that's enough of that, because I cannot keep that up for however long. My brain goes too fast, and it's way too disorganized to be able to keep that up for a while.
Yeah, that takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. Jonathan's got it. He straight up got it. He just can do it off the cuff at any given time. Well, it's not just the voice. It's like the pacing, too, right?
Yeah.
You can check him out on Andor on Star Wars Cast. Are they doing the Bad Batch? I feel like they did. They already did the Bad Batch.
I don't think they are doing the Bad Batch.
Not the most current season, but... Oh, no, they did Ahsoka. So that was my fault. Yeah, Ahsoka.
Yeah, they did Ahsoka.
So episode 2, Hello Stranger, which is something that I think we've all been looking forward to, although I do... Like, there were definitely some plot lines from the first episode that I have been missing that I was looking forward to seeing in this episode that we didn't.
Yeah, this was a very simple episode with really only two plot lines. You know, there's basically the Jen versus Nora plot line, and then there's Cash and Carrie at work.
Yeah,
we're not getting a lot of side characters. We're not getting like Jen's family. There's a lot of stuff that's not showing up on the show just yet,
right?
Because it's still setting up, I guess, all the conflict for the season.
Yeah, I mean, like, but it's conflict I'm interested in. How did you feel about this episode?
I thought it was a little slow and not super funny, but I really, really enjoyed how it ended. I thought that Nora being revealed as a villain was fantastic. I am very suspicious of anybody who looks that casually elegant, easily simply pulled together in beige and cream and tan and taupe. I'm suspicious of those people. I don't think anyone who has like a minimalist home that's like, you know, Instagram ready at all times is free of dark secrets. They're just really good at hiding them, you know?
It's a prime example of it's the quiet ones you have to watch.
Yeah.
While you're watching the quiet ones, the crazy one's going to come out and get you. all right. So I'll be honest. On first watch, I kind of like soaked it in and I enjoyed it. And on second watch, there were definitely some things that I didn't like, and it wasn't the acting, it was the writing, which really is not typical for me in this show. So, you know, I have some things to talk about. There were some things that were good, but that I did really enjoy. And one of them was absolutely Nora's telepathic one-way conversation with Jen. That's top of the list, because I thought it was delivered phenomenally. And I tried to write the whole damn thing down, but I didn't realize how bleeding long it was.
I have it already.
Do you?
Down.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, man, that is an amazing, what is it? When you soliloquy.
Or monologue.
Monologue. That is an amazing, you know, directional monologue. But yeah, so recap of season 2, episode 2, Hello Stranger. Jizlord tries to bond with his son Alfie, poorly. And Jen tries to manage her jealousy of Nora. Meanwhile, Cash gets a job, yes! But it's as Carrie's assistant, aww. With predictably unpredictable repercussions. So Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
The look on Carrie's face when she saw Cash,
okay.
just the like frustration and also this like resigned like defeat, like, oh, he's still dragging my life down.
So here's let's start with Carrie and Cash. Here is my biggest complaint about the episode. These people are not that stupid slash not intuitive, right? Like they aren't. If you get a pee cup, you pee in it.
Yeah.
Shitting in a urine sample, while you can, like, maybe on paper it's funny,
It doesn't make any sense at
but
all.
it's not
There's
reflective of the character. It's not in character. And that's the thing that bugs the crap out of me. Oh, I know. I can reorganize your very color-coded stationery cupboard by all just putting it all in a bag. I mean, I'm not going to say that no one is that stupid, but Cash specifically, it's not in character. It's not in character. He, honest to God, I feel like he wants to impress Carrie.
Yeah.
And when you see it, and it's all this color-coded glory when Carrie opens it up earlier in the episode, you see it, and it's like there is order to this. Like that someone put this in this particular, and for me to just say, hey, like now, if he opened it up and there was a bunch of random stuff in there that had been sorted, and even if it was a cache fashion, but for it to be blank and to be just, oh, like this orange, like that sounds like he's intentionally fucking with her. And
It does.
it like and it's not like, hey, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to work a Xerox machine. I understand. And so I'll be honest, me and another coworker of mine a couple months ago were trying to print out something, and like we couldn't get the damn thing to work. We couldn't get it to come out right. But you keep working at it. You try, keep trying things. You don't just hand over this, it came out big. That it seems like a
Okay.
very simple fix to that, and it's like a way oversized piece of paper. I was just like, it was comically out of character, and it made it
It
not
was
funny to me.
absurd.
Absurd, yes. Thank you.
I have to agree with you, but I will say that I have worked with people who have this level of lack of awareness of the world around them and of their impact on it. And so I worked with this one guy. I gave him a task to do. It was very straightforward, and I gave him very straightforward instructions, and he asked some questions, and this was a trademark thing, and he said, "Why aren't we applying in color? Why aren't we using color drawings?" And I said, "The black and white drawings give us more rights. It gives us more protection. So we're using the black and white drawings." So he did the whole thing, handed it to me with the color drawings. And I was like, "I told you to use the black and white ones." He's like, "I thought this way was better because now we can claim rights to the colors also." And I was like, "That's not how it works. The black and white ones are better. These all need to be redone." And he goes, "Well, I'm going home." And he left. And I had to redo all the work. And at law firms, when you're the first year lawyer and the fourth year lawyer gives you work to do, you do it until they tell you that you're done with it.
Right.
And the fact that he just like left and left home with it, I'm not a horrible person and I'm not a mean boss, but I ratted on him and I was like, I'll never work with him again. Like, if anyone else is going to train him, it has to be somebody else. It's not going to be me. I won't work with somebody that disrespectful. I don't know if it was a gender thing or if he's just that stupid, but I won't work with him. And Cash kind of reminded me of that guy because he was like, "Oh, I have a better idea. I won't even think about whether or not somebody else who's been here but longer, who, is my boss, might have done this way on purpose. I'm just going to do my idea." Yes, he took it to an absurd extreme by putting all the supplies in a plastic bag on the floor. I mean, that was so dumb, but like, There's part of me that believes it.
mean, I have not run into that in particular, so I don't like it. I personally thought it was out of character for Cash, and it made me specifically on second watch, it made me go that I just feel like it's like we're taking absurd situations and making them more absurd just for a gag, which to me made it less funny.
It didn't land. I will agree to that. I didn't find most of the office hijinks to be all that funny. I mostly felt really sad for Carrie and the predicament she was in. I don't know what I would have done if I were in the same predicament. I know now what I would do, but when I was 25, I don't think I would have had the wherewithal to be like, we can't have this person work here. Please let him go. We'll find somebody else.
Right.
Now I would do that. But at the time, I would have been like, oh no, my boss wanted to hire him. So now I'm stuck with him and I got to make it work. I would have done exactly what Carrie did.
You would have gone and gotten advice from your friend of how to buy drugs poorly and then made assumptions that even though this guy knows no
Yeah, you're
idea
right. I
who I
would not have
am,
done that.
does you know, no idea who I am or what my bank account numbers are or anything like that, he can just transfer money from one account to another with his mind. Am I saying that that is not a possible thing? Sure. This is my other point that I have complete and utter. This is,
You're right. I would not have done that.
Harry is a smart person. She maybe if she was like, here's my bank account number, like maybe if there was more to it, but oh, you're just gonna do it. All you know about me is that I came to buy drugs from you. I told you I'm not a cop and that I've watched a lot of Poirot. That's it. That is all. And I want your least illegal drug. I know nothing about you except for that. But, you know, in my head, I'm gonna go ahead and do this bank
In
transfer.
this universe, though, we've seen several people with powers that I would think would require them to have a lot of information to use, able to do miraculous things. Remember the girl at the high school reunion who took Carrie back to a couple of key memories just by being like, all right, let's go to some key memories. Bing, bing. There was also, well, there's Carrie is a great example. When she wants to channel any dead person, she just sort of thinks about them and there they are. It's really remarkable. But maybe, so my point being, maybe in this world, like, Jen's mom has that like tech power where she just like she can
Yep,
do
control
all
technology.
kinds
Yep.
of tech stuff, even though she doesn't understand it. Like, I can see a world where Carrie thought this guy really could do that. And then because she was so nervous to be buying drugs and didn't realize until later, like, oh, duh. Like, that was, he just kept my 30 pounds. Maybe. I don't know. I love Carrie and I can't see her stupid, so I have to make up reasons for it.
I appreciate all the effort that they are going to with the show and they are putting, but I personally think that it's lazy writing and it is, we're going for the cheap laugh and then like, hey, no, so nothing's below the surface whatsoever. It's just cheap laugh and we're not gonna give some sort of explanation as to why this is a like what I might think this is possible as this smart person that I love. And yes, Carrie, I love you. And then I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna just throw the grenade out there. The post-credit scene made this even, it pissed me off even more. Like
Yes.
it made everything that happened even more ridiculous and over the top, and it nullified any of the smart jokes that were written into the storyline. It if she wasn't on, like, why would her pupils be so big? Why would she? I mean, sure, maybe paracetamol which I'm not sure what the equivalent here, if it's ibuprofen or acetaminophen or whatever, but
Yeah, I think it's basically Tylenol.
yeah. So like, why would that give you these other physical effects? Why was she hallucinating? Why was she all of the things? The
Why
power
was she
of
floating?
suggestion. Well, she wasn't floating. She was holding herself up with her arms. She was locked up, and that's what she couldn't get down.
Oh, I thought she was levitating. And I
Yeah,
was like, is this a new power? What is
no, she
happening?
was just literally holding herself up, but she was locked, her arms were locked, and then she couldn't get down. Why were all of her muscles tense? Like, if it was on some drug that she didn't know, okay, you know what? Hey, we can make the assumption that whatever drugs happen, make them do whatever. But taking that away, the common I mean, I'll use the word trope of, oh, they thought they were on drugs, but they really weren't. Ha ha ha. Like it cut the legs out from under why she almost got fired. Why she, had to take a drug test. Why she like,
Destroyed a priceless work of art.
yeah, it like it
And
just it just it absolutely infuriated me. And I think, I don't know if it's lazy writing or maybe they think the people aren't actually watching this and using their brains, but I don't want to shit on the show because I do enjoy it. And but watching it for a second time and thinking any more deeply than the surface pissed me the fuck off. All right, so I will step down
that's all very fair.
off of my soapbox.
Well, as long as we are at Harry's office and talking about that whole storyline, I have a few things that I observed about it. First of all, why doesn't Cash's suit fit him? He is a 25-year-old man. He's wearing like a comically oversized suit. Does he think he's in a New Jack Swing video? What is happening? It's like he has these huge shoulder pads. Is he like a member of Talking Heads? Like, it made him look ludicrous. And I know we're supposed to think Cash is ludicrous, but he's also like a good-looking guy. I think he would know how to wear a suit that fits him after, you know, being on this planet for 25 years. Anyway, on the other hand, Carrie's work outfit was chic as fuck. She was wearing this like purple, and I don't know if it was silk or suede. It looked like silk to me that was like a raw silk that was treated. So it had a texture to it. It was really gorgeous. And then this like pale gold blouse underneath with this loose scarf neck was really, I thought, chic. I was thinking like, oh, Diana would have approved that blouse and the purple and gold together. But then she wears the most batshit footwear and legwear. She was wearing these like bright purple thigh-high socks that had like ribbon bow like garters on them. It looked like something from like a schoolgirl porn.
Did she take those off? Because I noticed when she was up on the table or leaning up against the table, it looked like she was like Cash went over to the sink and she like turned around and I mean, it just looked oddly suggestive to me. And I seem to remember that her legs were bare from her skirt down. Now maybe I was just like, oh, she's still in her tart outfit.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it was kind of a short skirt, and there was definitely skin visible between the top of the socks and the bottom of the skirt, but I don't remember them being off. I do remember that the shoes she was wearing were real ugly, clunky, lug sole loafer type shoes that were very in the early to mid 90s and are quite unattractive. But when they were in, I did wear them a lot because those big, thick soles, like the chunk heel, is comfortable to walk in and dance in. And if you're a city person in your 20s, that's awesome. So much better than stiletto heels, which are much more elegant visually, but hell on your legs. And then when she goes to buy drugs, she's wearing this like metallic, like antique gold trench coat thing. And I was like, I want to take it through the screen. Give it to me. So beautiful. Ruined by the shoes, of course. And then It's so funny because I've seen now Sophia Oxenham and how she looks when she's not playing Carrie, and she does this hilarious thing with her posture where she sort of hunches forward and rolls her shoulders forward to make Carrie look so socially awkward because she actually is gorgeous, and so she's doing this thing to like lessen the impact of her beauty. And it's the same thing they do. I think they like draw her features like downward a little bit with makeup to make her less pretty than she is in real life. Because I think with just the tiniest changes, Carrie would be too pretty for the role, you
I
know?
can see that. Yeah, no,
Like it wouldn't
absolutely.
be believable. So they have to awkward her up, and the posture is a huge part of it, and it's so funny to me because she's wearing these really stylish, bold clothes, and then she's like walking around like she's embarrassed. I don't know. It's like a cognitive dissonance.
I get that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, and she does a phenomenal job, as we've seen, we're playing going from one character to another in an instant. And I get it, it's
Yeah.
not in an actual instant, but it's, you know, in the show, it's in an instant, and she the posture changes, the voice change. I mean, it's not her voice, but like the just the look on her face changes. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Everything about it. Do you think Cash got a job at Carrie's work because he genuinely wants to impress her, or because he is unable to be independent at all and he needs his mommy to be at his job?
I
Or
think,
is he fucking with her?
like, I can't. Kind of the same way that you were saying, like, he's a good-looking guy and he's actually charming sometimes. I don't think his attitude, I don't think his thought process is that I'm gonna fuck with her. I think he's honestly, like, he used the words, I used my own, I can't remember, not my own innovation, but he, when he was talking about,
Oh,
hey,
initiative.
initiative, yeah, of my own initiative, I went and did this. And that's the part, like, if he was trying to fuck with her, okay, like I could see that, but it's like he was obviously, oh, sorry, it appeared like he was obviously embarrassed about the Xerox pages coming out too big. They came out too big. I don't want to talk about it, but they came out too big. It doesn't seem like he's trying to fuck with her. It seems like he's overly inept, and not just inept, but actively working against what it is that she's trying to do. And if this was Carrie's job, and now she just is to lessen the load, is she still struggling with the same job that she had before? Maybe because she's having to redo Cash's work because she thought it was going to be done already. But like she just seemed to be struggling significantly more with the load that should have been about the same. So like I understand the idea of thinking that something's going to be done and then you're pressed for time in order to get something completed, or and then, hey, and now I have to leave work to go buy drugs to plant on my ex-boyfriend's desk. God, like just the whole concept of it was very, I just think, poorly done.
Yeah, really,
No offense, boys. No offense. Poorly done. Love the show.
not
Poorly
the
done.
best way to get somebody fired either. I mean, she could just tell them he's a mess and get him let go. I mean, you know, like the honesty would have worked. He's my ex-boyfriend and he's
This is a
disorganized.
conflict of
Like they,
interest. I can't have him working for me.
yeah.
Like, yeah. And you're saying, yeah, at 25, like I get it. All right. So I do, there are a couple of other what I felt highlights in the Cash Carry storyline. I loved the icebreaker. I'm gonna call it icebreaker circle jerk.
I hate those.
They
Oh my
are
God, I
the
hate
most
them.
awkward and most inappropriate. Like this was, my note is, this seems borderline, like not good. Like borderline, like unethical to make people talk about their power or make them do whatever. Like, hey, I can kill someone by just thinking it. That's not scary at all. I
Yeah,
can change gender at
terrifying.
will. Okay. Maybe there may be some sort of Privacy Act type stuff. I can tell exactly when people are gonna get their periods. That's fucking
That
creepy.
joke did not land with me. I am generally not a fan of period humor. In the first season, they had the tampon game, and they turned what I thought was a cheap joke into something special because of how the boys built that whole like tampon city at the end.
What I loved about that bit was that it was Jizlord learning. It turned
Yeah.
into it was a wonderful young woman coming and, oh honey, let me help you out. Which and I know I've mentioned it to you before, but the Disney Plus show Baymax, after post Big Hero 6, they did an episode on periods and it was amazing. It was a very similar scene where Baymax is going and trying to buy tampons and pads for a young girl who got her first period, and it is hysterical, especially in comparison to this one. I'm like, oh, this is the same scene. It's great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that scene ended up being great. And there was a little funny callback to it, I thought, when we found out that Jizz Lord used to be a structural engineer. I was like, oh, that's why he built that whole thing. That's
Oh
in his
yeah. No,
brain.
that's yeah, I didn't even
It's
think about
like
that. That's a good
building
point.
things. But there was another period joke. There was like, yeah, Jen went into Nora's purse and made some crack about her tampons being like super or whatever. I just don't find that kind of thing funny. It's not like, ooh, we're talking about tampons. It's so edgy. I feel like that was 20 years ago. Tampon humor was edgy, and now
Right.
it's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then yeah, the guy, what I did enjoy was the guy who can like pop out of invisibility,
I think he
like
was phasing through the
calling.
wall. I feel like he was phasing through the wall.
Oh, maybe, yeah, but calling out the other guy for being a GDPR violation when I'm like, dude, you are a walking GDPR violation. GDPR stands for, oh, wait, I know this.
I mean, private records or personal records. I imagine the last
It's
PR.
privacy regulation.
Okay.
I should know this because I spent years working on GDPR changes for my company. But
General
basically,
something?
it's Europe's overarching
HIPAA.
privacy law. HIPAA is specific to
Medical.
health information.
Gotcha.
GDPR covers all kinds of privacy information, all of your personal data, and there's multiple parts of it. If anybody actually wants to know, give me a call. I could talk you through it. I loved the shout out to it because I was like, it's a law firm. They would be worried about GDPR. And saying, hey, that's a GDPR violation is just, it's something that I've said to people in conversation at my old job as a joke when like we're getting into like some conversation that's like weird or whatever. I'll be like, hey, that's a GDPR violation. The same way you'll hear people wrongly claim that certain things are HIPAA violations. Like
Right.
you can't ask me about like to wear a mask because of HIPAA. There's a lot of people who have wrong ideas about HIPAA in the US. That's not what it does. But the joke landed. That was like one of the jokes that landed with me, and I think only because of my personal history with GDPR.
Yeah.
Global Data Privacy Regulation. General Data Privacy Regulation?
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe it could be protection.
Okay.
It's weird that I don't remember this. Anyway.
All right. So that was let me see. I feel like that was about it as far as yeah, that's it.
The only other thing I had was that I really enjoyed the way they went for the tripping your ass off
Yeah,
effects.
I mean
I
I
thought they were really cool. The idea of the people's heads being like on a screen that was their head. I don't know, it was really,
So I thought
I thought that was
the
creative.
visual there is visuals there were good.
Yeah.
And I did actually enjoy the hi Carrie and Cash conversation. Your pupils are huge. Oh, I've been having to do all this work for this ass named Cash. And I'm Cash. Well, good for you. And oh, Carrie sounds like a fucking bitch. You're Carrie. Oh, but she Carrie has a point. I thought.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty, self-doubt, stressing about not knowing where to start. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
That back and forth was actually really entertaining and funny.
But
you know, it was like a couple of high points in a storyline that I just wasn't a big fan of, and I thought had a lot of plot holes or character holes.
Kind of ho-hum.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And we are back.
Now let's go ahead and move on to, let's do Jizz and Alfie, because there's not a ton to it, but there's some good stuff.
I think it's adorable how much Jizz wants to connect with his son and how he's like, I'm going to bond with that kid so hard.
That was a great line.
It was really cute. And the bubble wrap. I mean,
I'm childproofing the apartment. What?
Yeah. The best childproofing joke I saw recently was somebody on, I think it was on Instagram, was like, well, I childproofed the apartment, but my kids keep getting in.
that's fair. All right, so Jizz is, you know, I'm gonna bond with them so hard. I'm gonna have a catch with my Alfie, with my boy. And he throws the glove at him, and I noticed that it was on his wrong hand. It was like on his right hand when it's a left hand. You know, it goes on his left hand. And then I did think that was funny. And then Alfie's like, ah, and he like hides behind Nora. The idea that, hey, I'm looking for the cat food. And like, I was confused by the conversation too, because like, but the salmon is much more, you know, tastes more fresh. And, oh, that's just whatever. And I'm like, what is happening? And, oh, okay. On second watch, I kind of got the gaps a little bit more, but on first watch, I was really like, I don't know what the hell's happening.
Yeah, I was right there with Jen when I was like, huh? What?
Yeah. Who? Oh, telepathy. That's my gift. Of course it is, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
But Jizz is like, you guys have something in common. Oh, we both care for you. You're both bottom heavy.
Oh! Oh, Jizz Lord.
I was like... And
never say that to a woman or anyone.
Luke Rawlinson's face in basically every scene that he was in was perfect. He was the facial acting that he had, it was just like, that seemed to have gone well. And he's just got this bright, innocent look on his face. One big happy family. And like, I just... I'm old, my boy. Every facial expression that he made was absolutely appropriate to a vacuous person trying to do the right thing.
He's so childlike in his approach to the world. And now that we've met Nora, I feel like I understand why he doesn't want to go back to his old life, even if he doesn't remember it. Like, he left for a reason. He needed to escape.
Well, and that is like we'll get into it when we get into Nora. But I can appreciate the idea of taking a ball-licking gap year, which I thought was, I did, again, on second watch is when I caught, oh, ball-licking because it's he's a cat, not because it's just a really shitty ball-licking, like that. Yeah. Oh, that licks balls. Oh, it's disgusting. It's horrible. No, it's literally ball-licking. Daddy sleeps in the bath. No, daddy's just being funny. Is daddy homeless? No. Right? It was funny. Like,
yeah.
All right. Then Alfie and Jizz playing the fact that he's like, oh, see, daddy's an engineer. He builds things. He's not scary at all. He would never throw a glove at you.
Yeah, Jizz has no filter, and he just says all the things that he thinks of
right
whenever he's talking, and it makes him so trustworthy, because you know he's not capable of being deceitful.
You can trust him to be honest. You cannot trust him with things that you don't want told to other people, i.e. oh, she's threatened by you, because we've had this like, oh yeah, she went to this, like, when he told his her mom about it, right? About
Yeah. She went to this clinic
the
and she doesn't
clinic.
want you to know about it. Yeah.
Oh, she's just really uncomfortable because she didn't want you to know about it because her sister got her power and she really doesn't like that because it makes her feel bad, blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, she's threatened by you because we have all this history and we've only been dating for a week and da, 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 da. Oh.
Yeah.
Let me see what else we
He
got.
does have a little bit of the what they call verbal diarrhea. It's
Oh,
just
that is,
uncontrollable.
I feel like he is a prime example of that. And then even like when he said something right? I remember the first time, but I don't remember any of that. I remember the first time I met you. You had pink nails and the sun was in your hair. And I remember the first thing you said to me. Like it like yes and at that point he was thinking the right things and he was thinking of he was explaining why what he like oh yeah this was actually good and what it was matched up with what Jen wanted to hear, which
Yeah.
is great. But then like the again back to common tropes that I just thought for me didn't land where it was the speed up guy over speeding Alfie while he was
Yeah, that
distracted.
seemed when he was like, oh, the kid, and he just starts aging him. Like, at no point did he ask, how much aging do you want or
Right.
anything?
The again again it seems like the jokes were written that for the immediate laugh and hey, don't ask any questions.
Yeah, not the cleverness that we are used to.
Yeah, no, I thought that even in episode one, there were jokes that were more in depth. I mean, we talked for a while about episode
Yeah.
one and how much we enjoyed it, and these just didn't land for me. I think specifically because they were either, in my opinion, out of character and kind of just they didn't make any sense. So.
Similarly, for me, once the guy had sped Alfie up and Alfie was this, old man, the fact that they then were like, well, let's take him to the playground. I didn't buy that for a second. I thought it was so weird that they weren't at all panicked about having aged him, that they didn't try to like call Cash to come back and, reverse time somehow, or
Right.
like there was none of that. They just were like, all right, let's go to the playground. And then the scenes at the playground that they just weren't that funny. It seemed like we were supposed to be like, ha ha, old man on a swing. That's hilarious. But like, I don't find that funny. That's just an old man on a swing.
Oh, is he dead? Oh, no, he's okay. Oh, sweet. And then Jen, slapping him on the back, and then he wakes up. And then I did find the band-aids on all of the boo-boos.
Yeah, that was
It
cute.
was, I mean, I found it was reminiscent of me and my kids. So like that was like the one part, although I did say he fell down, he went down a slide and like, that was like 4 feet in the air and he got up, but like, I just didn't. Again, I'm not trying to inject reality into a fantasy TV show. It's just stuff that's hard for me to get past.
Yeah, I agree with you. The parts that did work for me were the Jen internet stalking Nora part,
Oh, yeah, no, I get that.
where she went all the way back on her Instagram and then, showed Carrie, and Carrie's like, I'll hate her because I'm your best friend or whatever. And she's like, don't go down a rabbit hole. And then, of course, Jen goes down the rabbit hole. And by the time Carrie wakes up, Jen is like, has gone completely obsessive compulsive, like serial killer, bulletin board string, the whole bit about this Mykonos magnet, which it just was so believable as something that anybody in that situation would do.
And I will say that made me laugh.
It
It
was funny.
was funny. It hit where a majority of the rest of the show didn't, or a lot of the other jokes, not the show, but the jokes didn't. It landed with me. And you cannot tell me this makes economical sense. And like Jen's just like the look in Mary Tyler's eyes is just like
Yeah, like the
the
crazy
yeah
eyes with the
the
like, I've been awake
manic.
all night.
Yeah, like I like all of that clicked for me,
Yeah.
and I thought that was great. But
All right, before our last plot line, we'll take one more quick break and we'll be right back.
all right, so we on to Jen and Nora.
Yeah, let's talk Jen and
All
Nora.
right, Jen and Nora.
Could they be more different from each other?
Like they are literally, no, not literally, but figuratively oppositional characters. They do not do the same. They're not the same type of person. They are not. They are very. They're polar opposites of just the types of people that you could in fact date. And so Nora is a YouTube sensation or whatever the show, or whatever, Instagram or whatever they were talking
Yeah,
about.
and I think she's an influencer.
Yeah, so she 150,000 followers and. Oh, she's what? Do you remember what she was called? Did you have that written down?
I think it's a good life, no, a simple life well lived.
Yeah, simple life well lived. Yep. Oh, she's a
Yeah.
simple life well lived. I'm like, you know what? Like she's constantly put together. She's got advice things. She probably makes some money with regard to that, which is why I think that turning her into the villain makes it work. I think that is a brilliant way of doing it. And then the telepathy that you can't, it's like the term veiled threat, right? A
Yeah.
veiled threat is veiled so that someone can deny, oh, did you, are you just imagining my voice in your head, Jen? Is this your own guilt for having taken my husband? Like it's everything is
Yeah.
deniable. It is plausible deniability. You really
But
think that I talked to her head?
what Nora doesn't know is that that is exactly what Jen needed to come blazing out and fight for her man. Right? Like, if Nora had continued to be unassailably perfect, Jen would not have known what to do with herself or how to address it. But knowing that Nora is like, has challenged her like this, like, there's part of Jen that was like, okay, now I know where I belong in this picture and I know what to do. Even
Right.
though I'm sure Jen doesn't actually know what to do,
She doesn't know
I think
what to do. She knows what she needs to do, at least in general.
she's more comfortable in this role
Right.
than she would have been in this, like, let's all get along role. She was very uncomfortable with that. This is like when she's like, I fucking knew it. There was this moment where it was like, she was also like, thank God, because I couldn't deal with perfect Nora.
I know how to act in this situation. I did not know how to act in the previous situation. Now
Yeah.
I'm in my comfort zone, which is you a
Hating
bitch.
this bitch. Yeah.
I need to fucking fix you. And
Yeah.
yeah, so like seeing Jen come out of her shell towards the end, having her be Jen again, was nice. It was good. I will say that, you know, just some of the items that we had discussed a little bit, like I will just say every scene with them was wildly awkward. And nice Nora and nice Jen, even though the I thought that the oh how why are we so good together? How did he get someone so hot? Why are you fucking my husband? And the dead silence. I felt like that timing was perfect. They left
Yeah.
it quiet just
Just the
long
exact amount
enough.
of time.
Yep. Like Family Guy would have gone an extra 12 seconds, but like
Yeah.
this one, it was perfect. The timing was perfect. I'm just messing with you. I'm just joking, Jen. I mean, you don't
Oh.
throw that out there unless you mean it a little bit, which is one of the things that you like make like. I mean, and then when real Nora comes out at the end, she drops the C word, and I'm like, oh shit just got real. And then the next one was where Jizz was looking for the, I keep saying Jizz, but like it's a normal name. Jizz was looking for the cat food, and oh, why do you want that? Because it helps me turn into a cat. What? And he's like, oh, we had our own secret language. And she's like putting her hand on him. And it was very, very familiar. But
Yeah, and
it was,
possessive and
but yeah.
performative.
Yes, it was very, very possessive. And it was very much how you tame a wild animal,
Yeah.
how you domesticate, using the words that she used. I domesticated that man to do exactly what I wanted. and you can't come in here with your perfect perky tits. And I was honestly, I was like, oh, Jen's gonna take out of that. Oh, you think I have perky tits? Very nice, thank you. Like this, like, and I was like, yeah, she was domesticating it. She's doing it again. She is talking to him very simply, very, oh, this is what I do. I care. These are the things that I, and just the vindictiveness of her telepathic conversation. When I fuck him, and I will think of you being sad and alone, and I will come like a landmine. I was like, God damn, like Jesus. It was so good. I'm sorry to step on the reading of it, but it was so good. I was like, oh shit. I mean, this was one of those, it
That
was awesome.
speech deserves to be pulled apart into many different pieces because it has so much goodness in it. So I'll just start at the top.
Okay.
Jen, yeah, I'm talking to you, you fucking idiot. Do you really think I'm cool with this? That I'm just super chill about my husband fucking off for 4 years to be a cat, like some ball-licking gap year while I pay the mortgage and keep that brat
Keep
alive?
that brat alive, very specifically, doesn't give a shit about Alfie.
So that's the first chunk, right? It's like, do you think I'm cool with this? I'm not. And it's like, and the use of the word brat, it all sort of allows us to start hating Nora
Yeah,
right alongside Jen.
exactly.
Like the audience is like, oh, good.
Thank
I didn't want to
God.
like her.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then she's like, my favorite line. And when he does come back, he's dating some manic pixie dream slut. Oh my God. Manic pixie dream girl is one of my favorite things to sort of make fun of because it's such a 90s, early 2000s movie trope. And women started calling it out. And now there, it's not as common in movies, but it still shows up. It's this like fantasy of a woman who is, you know, artsy and spontaneous and loose morals. And, you know, she doesn't have a lot of needs because she's, you know, floaty and ephemeral and crazy, but in a really sweet and reasonable and controllable kind of way. And I have sometimes thought that I'm sort of like a grown-up manic pixie dream girl who like didn't have time to be manic and pixie all that much. But her using slut instead of girl killed me. I thought it was so funny and so clever, and I might have to add it to my online dating profile.
I did not know that reference, and so thank you very
Oh.
much for explaining it to me. I was not into manic dream pixie girl. Wait, what was it called?
Manic Pixie Dream Girl?
I did not know that that was a thing. I mean, as you talk about it, I was like, oh, is that like Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
100%.
Okay, so like, now that you say, oh, it was a totally a thing back in the day, I'm like, oh, okay, so now I can actually like pick that out as like a not just a trope, but like a almost like an archetype, of character. And so that's cool. Okay, that makes a lot of sense that it was at some point called out as like, this is a ridiculous thing. There are people who are like this, but they aren't the best. They aren't always like the best.
And it's not like a fun adventure to have a girlfriend who's got a mental illness, but that's how it's often portrayed in movies is like the guy hooks up, it's always a depressed guy who hooks up with this like quirky, like fun, interesting girl who has this very conveniently quiet mental illness problem where sometimes she's sad, right? And it helps him learn to be alive again. Along Came Polly with Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston is a good example. Garden State is a good example with Zach Braff and
Natalie
Natalie
Portman.
Portman. Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there. And so it's funny, I hadn't thought about Jen in those terms, but as soon as she said it, I was like, oh, that is who Jen is. She is. She's
I can
like,
now see how that applies
yeah.
to Jen, who feels like a
Yeah.
regular person.
But she's not. She knows that she's manic and a mess. And she's also like remember that time when she ran into Luke and he was like, "Oh, you're doing something weird." And she's like, "It's Jen. She's crazy. What will she do next?" Like she plays that role. But the use of slut just really, oh God, so funny. It's also
That
funny.
does
So,
make it more funny.
yeah. And so then Nora says, I was just going to guilt him into being a full-time nanny for that little tax credit over there. But that's not enough. You were right about one thing. I am his owner. He belongs to me. I spent years domesticating that man to do whatever I want. And you think you can waltz in here with your perky tits and no pension and have a quirky little fucking Wes Anderson love story? Well, think again, cunt. I mean, quirky little fucking Wes Anderson love story?
So yeah, Royal Tenenbaums, and what was the something
Oh,
with,
Moonrise Kingdom.
I
Oh,
never watched
I love
Moonrise Kingdom. I
Moonrise
haven't seen
Kingdom.
that
Oh, it's so
yet.
good. That's the most romantic Wes Anderson
Oh, is
movie.
it? Isn't that like
Yeah.
a couple of 12-year-olds?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But they sort of run away together.
Oh,
It's very Wes Anderson-y,
okay.
right? It's like two young kids who have no ability to be realistic about the world and don't have any money, and they run away together. It's exactly Jen and Chislord.
So, speaking of Wes Anderson, this is a slight tangent, but have you watched The After Party?
Oh, I love the After Party.
Okay, the Wes Anderson episode in season two is one of my favorites. It is, I think it is phenomenal.
I'm trying to
It's
remember
the one
what
with the sister,
happens in that
the
episode.
sister, the
Oh,
Zach
right. And
Woods'
the type,
sister. Yeah, and
yeah, the
the
typewriter
typewriters,
and
and
the,
yeah.
yep.
Like I
Oh,
was
yeah.
like, oh, this type of shit, like this is an awesome version. And they're just sitting quietly and talking to each other with no emotion in their voice, but they're
And
saying
everything is
very,
symmetrical and bright colors. Oh, it's so Wes Anderson.
I was very, very, I was like, this is one of my favorite episodes of the show. And there's so many good episodes of The After Party. And the variation is really what makes it amazing. We should totally podcast on that. But that's assuming we have time for anything, but we barely have time for this. But anyway, speaking of manic, all right. So you want to go ahead
And
and
then,
finish off?
yeah, I'll finish off the speech. Well, think again, cunt. You've taken something from me, and I'm going to take it back. And when I fuck him, which I will, I'll be thinking of you alone and sad, and I'll come like a fucking landmine because I just don't like you.
That was like that last part is what got me. Like I was like, I will come like a fucking landmine. I was like, God damn.
Like vengeance sex. Yeah, it's awesome. And the way that the story is delivered, right? Nora is smiling and talking to Jizz Lord very, calmly and peacefully about Alfie or I don't know, piano lessons or flute lessons or something really benign. And the fact that she can carry on two conversations at once
That's
like
fucking
that,
impressive as shit, I will just say. That's...
she is smart and talented, and there's a reason why she has 150,000 followers. She is a formidable opponent.
Yeah, very much so. And let me just say, I have very good power insurance. We'll get this reversed. I'm like, Jesus, like power insurance? That's phenomenal. That is
Yeah.
amazing. But yeah.
I'm not surprised that 10 years into a world where people have powers, that the insurance industry has managed to, work their way into making a profit off of
Oh
that.
yeah, absolutely. It was, yeah, but that speech was to me the best part of the episode and an amazing culmination to all of the setup that had happened up to that point. And so that is what
Yeah.
we call ending on a high note, which we are
Yes,
doing
it
with
is.
both the show and the podcast. Not that
Woo!
it's over. I'm just saying that like that was ending with the best thing. I say that, but it's not really the best thing, right? We have one bit of news. Penny, do you want to talk about what the best thing is?
Do you mean the fact that our show just won an award for best scripted comedy at the Royal Television Society Awards
I
a
do,
couple
in
days ago?
fact, mean that. Yes, it is phenomenal. And I am so thrilled for the writing team, except for, like I said, for this episode, maybe it isn't the one they submit. But anyway, my point being is that, like, this, like, I am so thrilled beyond thrilled
They
for.
seemed really happy. I follow a lot of the creators and the actors on Instagram, and There were a lot of very joyful photographs of all of them at the awards ceremony together and, you know, posing with the award itself, posing all together. Luke Rolson, as usual, had to make it silly and awkward. And so he had a lot of comments about being a puppet boy in his like tuxedo. And he's like, I'm trying to look normal and not like a puppet boy. And then everybody else was calling him puppet boy. It just seemed like all around they had a great night
That's
and really
awesome.
enjoyed winning that award. Mairéad Tyers was also nominated, but she lost to somebody in a show I have not seen. So I couldn't opine on whether or not that was a worthy loss.
And they are, and I know that Sophia Oxenham and Mairéad Tyers are both nominated for Best Actress in for the BAFTAs, which is again phenomenal, and I'm so
And
glad.
also the show for best comedy.
Oh
So
yeah, I mean, so
fingers crossed for our team.
right, yeah, I'm really hoping that they end up pulling that out and get a little bit more little more play. Maybe we can have Luke back on, but he may be a little bit too famous at that point. That's probably not true. He's probably just gonna be super busy because he was so freaking cool.
He's super talented. He's constantly producing stuff. He's got like plays and one-man
Yeah,
shows.
I
He's
was
got a short film on the BBC.
when I started following him on Instagram, I was like, oh my God, look at all these tour dates and these plays and the whole man. I wish I lived in London or at least in the UK so I could maybe try to make it to one of these. This is awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I'm like, I want to go see all of these
I
shows.
want to do all of the things. But because we're a little bit running a little bit late, and we've had some we'll just say some recording miscues and some ill-timed events. I know we're running a little bit late, and we're going to try to start getting these out on a pretty regular basis. I mean, so for the moment though, we are again for the most part enjoying the show. At least I am.
I can't wait to watch the next episode.
Yeah, I mean the title of the next one really I'm really looking forward to that. Which I believe is oh we'll cover it here in a couple minutes. But anyway, that's the end of our show. I know that we had feedback comments about covering the show in general, but again, I've got kids. That's what I was gonna say, I've got kids and I'm trying to find the time to do this and be a good dad. So I identify with Jiz on this. But that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want to get in touch, if you want to send us some feedback or questions or whatever, you can find all the information you need about that on podcastica.com.
You can find links to our social media pages and other shows over there. I know that The Ones Who Live, I cannot wait for the season finale. I'm really looking forward to it. I thought the first five have been really good. I'm not talking. Going to talk specifics because if I think it's amazing and I'm really enjoying the coverage over on the Cast of Us.
I've been enjoying that a great deal as well. And also, I have to plug my own Still Slaying, a Buffyverse podcast. We just covered the 80s movie Heathers. And if you are a person who likes Extraordinary, I think you would also be a person that enjoys Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's campy, it's funny, it's got great witty dialogue. There's a little bit of a supernatural aspect to it, just a little bit,
Just a
and
little
really great fashion. So I recommend just pick wherever we are in our coverage. You don't need to go back to the beginning because the show was written in the 90s for broadcast TV. You'll understand what's going on. It'll be
bit.
fine.
You just might, it might take a few episodes to get to know all the characters.
Exactly. And while you're at podcastica.com or listening to one of our podcasts, if you like what we're doing, hit rate, review, 5-star rating, like, follow, subscribe, all those other things. We love to hear from our listeners. Even if you don't want us to read it on the podcast and you want to just send us a note, we just like to hear from people.
Yeah, I like to feel validated by strangers, and you guys are all strangers. I mean, family to me. But next time on this show, we'll be covering season 2, episode 3, The Exorcism of Carrie Jackson. I
That's going to
really
be so
am
awesome.
curious what that's referring to. Yeah.
I hope King Charles comes back. I loved him. Was it Charles? Yeah, it was
Yeah,
Charles.
Charles.
And you want me to believe that you would ever, could ever buy a Mykonos fridge magnet at Santorini? It doesn't make any economic sense.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out: uncertainty, self-doubt, stressing about not knowing where to start. In: plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out: word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In: knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.